What is up, you guys? Welcome back. Super excited for you to listen to this interview because I got to talk with Claire Fagan, who we met each other kind of just on Instagram and just have connected. So it was so cool kind of getting to talk to her face to face in person instead of just, you know, shooting messages over on Instagram. She is the one who I learned everything I know about sourdough. So I learned all of that from her. And it's kind of cool just diving into her life and what got her to where she is today, being, as what she says, a professional hobbyist. And I don't know, we just dive into so many things. Like, we talk about just kind of the self-sufficiency aspect and kind of getting back to the root of things, and just kind of how diet culture in this fast-paced environment and life and just how fast-paced society is in general has really taken over our lives, and how it is so nice to just stop and take a step back. And she just talks about her journey through life and how she got to where she is today. And it's just a great conversation. I'm Miranda Lee, and you're listening to the Bread Therapy Mama podcast, a show created for moms who want to feed their families foods that heal them, not hurt them. Food was meant to be our medicine, and the best way to do that is by focusing on the ingredients, not the calories. Here, you'll find everything you need to know about holistic nutrition, sprinkled with some motherhood, faith, and non-toxic living along the way. I can't wait to grow with you. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here.
Woo-hoo! I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what we were talking about before, you know, the actual recording right here is that, no, I started following you right when you started to do sourdough and just posting about your, just one of your many hobbies. But before we like dive into all these really cool things that you do, I guess just give us a little introduction of who you are and what you do and like all those good things.
Cool. Okay. My name is Claire Fagan. I suppose my like title in life is sort of going through a transition right now. Normally I would have introduced myself as a floral artist and photographer. I'm based in LA. So in the last couple, I would say like 5 or so years, I've kind of been immersed in like the art world, mostly on sets, and mostly my like most loved and used medium is flowers. So that's kind of been my life for the last like 5 or so years. And then more recently, I've had less set work and I've kind of transitioned more into sharing publicly on social media, a lot of my hobbies. So I kind of feel like my new title is more like just a hobbyist. I love flowers still, of course. And, you know, when art jobs and set jobs come up, I'm delighted to take them. But I've kind of transitioned a little bit more into sharing these like parts of me that I feel like I was homeschooled when I was younger. And I think that I learned a lot of these hobbies when I was homeschooled and carried them with me, but always felt like maybe they were kind of dorky or something. And I never talked about them publicly. So, I suppose my name is Claire Fagan and I am a hobbyist who is owning my my dorky but fabulous interests and sharing them on YouTube and Instagram, and yeah, that's me.
I love that. I love following like your journey. I haven't been there from like the very beginning about like the whole floral, right, the floral art and stuff that you do, but like of course I've Instagram stalked you, so I've gone back and like look at all of them, like dang, like she's talented in so many different areas. And I love the how it's all been kind of put together where you can share all these different things. And it makes me want to do all these different things too. I'm like, okay, we're doing sourdough, then we're gonna do bone broth.
Oh,
and
yay.
Then we're gonna do this and that. The whole you know, growing things. Huh. That's very intimidating to me. But that
like
is
gardening?
Next on my list. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how you do that. It's a lot of patience.
It is a lot. Oh my gosh. And I am like being fully asked to exercise said patience right now because we've had so much rain in LA and so many cloudy days that I have a lot of green in my garden right now and like limited flowers. And I just need like a couple weeks of sun and I know I'll have flowers, but yeah, it is a lot of patience and I'm not a patient person. So it's been good for me for sure. But yeah, gardening is like a whole different world. There's so much to know.
I know, like so many like rules, I guess, too. Like
Yeah.
I guess I assume that you can like plant something and have it all year round because like I grew up in San Diego and the weather's always the same. But
Yeah.
then like I moved to Virginia and I started like planting things and then they like died because it was
Yeah.
like 20 degrees outside. And I was like,
Yeah.
okay, I
Yes.
guess it doesn't work this way.
Yeah, no, I feel that it's definitely intricate because unless you're growing all one plant in your whole entire garden, then you have to know like the quirks of each different plant, like what kind of fertilizers, how often to water, that kind of thing. So it's definitely, I mean, I still feel like I'm at the beginning of the learning process with that. It's like something new every season. I basically fail at something and learn from it. And then the next season, I only half fail at that thing. And you know what I mean? So it's, yeah, it's fun though.
Well, so what got you into this? Because obviously you've been doing it for a long time and it went from just being a hobby to something you're getting paid for in a business. So how did that happen and how did the transition go from hobby to business?
For gardening specifically?
Yeah, for gardening
Okay.
specifically.
Well, I suppose, actually, okay, so I love flowers, as I have said. I think that there's not many, well, that's not true. I think they're a good reminder that they're here just to like be beautiful, right? And like make people happy and just be, I mean, they're all different. They don't all look the same, but they're here to be themselves, and that's beautiful. And we just get so much joy from flowers, right? And I think it's a good reminder just as like people, like we're all different, but being our, oh, I lost an AirPod, sorry. But being our most authentic selves is going to attract people to us and bring joy to people, right? So I love flowers for that reason, and I consider them like little friends and little sources of inspiration. But I think that in the work that I was doing with flowers, I didn't feel that I was showing flowers the respect that they deserved. On sets and for events, you buy a whole bunch of flowers in bulk. You use them for whatever you're going to use them for. You cut them down to how small you need them or whatever. Like there's so much manipulation. You take all their leaves off and then they are either on set or at an event for a matter of like hours, and then after that they're you like you throw them away, or I try and give them away on set, but I can't just take like multiple thousands of dollars of flowers
There we go.
home. There we go, I got it with me every time. So anyway, I just But they're always a little bit sad after the event or after the shoot. And I don't know, it was bothering me. And so, in an attempt to sort of like increase the level of respect I was able to have for flowers, I started growing them because I think that when you can see them from seed to seedling to like vegetative plant to flower, it's like that's my child at that point. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't just go to the store and buy this, like, already sprouted flower that's been cut down for me and packaged nicely. So I suppose that's what got me into growing flowers. On top of that, my mom is like an amazing gardener, and when I was homeschooled, we would grow strawberries and watermelon and tomatoes and things like that outside. I grew up in Texas, so very like fruitful summers. And so it was kind of like this mix of like it had been in my life in a way, and then my mom knew a lot about it, so she was like a great resource while I was learning. And then I had found flowers more artistically, and kind of all those things kind of melted together into this hobby that I now share on YouTube and Instagram and stuff like that. And my goal is to eventually grow tons and tons and tons of flowers. Like that's what my YouTube is called Farm Dream, because it is my dream to have a farm and grow flowers. So right now I only have a one flower bed or two, but hopefully someday I can grow on like a larger scale. So it's good to be learning now while it's still small scale.
Yeah, that's That's so awesome. I like how you talk about you have this new appreciation like for flowers now that you grow them. That's how I feel about like the sourdough now. I'm like, this
Yes.
isn't just like bread that you go and you pay a couple dollars for. Like, I put my heart and soul. Like, this is a
Oh my gosh.
24-hour journey.
Yes. Well, yeah, and even just the all the time journey of upkeeping your sourdough. And like I talk about with sourdough starter, like as soon as you as the baker start to work with your starter, it becomes yours. Like it's taking on yeasts and bacterias from like your kitchen and your hands, and like it's literally yours. Like I've always worried that if I something happened to mine, like I accidentally I don't know, had it in the oven pr like just feeding and I baked it or something, like I'd have to get my mom or a friend that I've sent it out to send some back to me. But then I'm like, but then it's not mine. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's that like feeling of ownership over something. Or and I'm sure you feel like that with like the ultimate version is with Ty. Just you are his source of like life. You know what I mean? Especially while he's a baby. And so this is all just like minute versions of that. But I think it increases your respect for that thing and your love for that thing or person. And yeah.
Yeah, whenever people are like, "Oh, that's such a cute baby." I'm like, "Thanks, I made him. Like,
Yeah.
I made him in
Literally
my
did.
womb. It's
Yes.
so cool."
And not only that, you have been like the person who is keeping him alive. He would not be alive if post-womb you weren't like his source of life and you nurtured him and stuff. So wild.
I know it is. It's so cool because I feel like in this day and age, like children are like the only thing that like we have to nurture because everything else is like instant gratification. Like you go to the store and you buy, a bouquet of flowers. You go to the store and you buy, a loaf of bread, all this stuff. And I feel like it takes a lot of like the joy out of it. And I don't know, like even just like starting to like make sourdough and just experiment in the kitchen and stuff just makes me see a lot of things in life differently. Like how people, like I appreciate food on a different level. Like years ago, it was just I would look at food as like calories and macros and like that's it. And like even now, if I like my parents had like some sourdough that they bought from the store before it came to visit and I tried it and I was like, this
Like
does not compare.
not quite.
It's not it. And it's just so cool because I've been like sharing my sourdough with friends or like swapping for farm fresh eggs and other things. And I'm like, I'm having like the sense of community, like the sense of ownership, like all these things I think we just have lost in this really fast-paced life and society that things are announced. Something as simple as, you taking the time to grow your flowers or make your sourdough and your bone broth just kind of makes you connect with yourself and the world and everything around you.
No, I totally agree. It's grounding in so many ways. And it, like you were saying, like with food, how it went from being a number to being this sort of like almost you saw it less for a number and more for this like whole ingredient list. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I know exactly what kind of flour I'm using, and you're doing things more intentionally. Same with gardening. It's like it goes from being like a bouquet of 10 stems, a number that you buy in the market, to being like, my soil has this in it, and this, plant shot up three flowers and this one shot up five. So now I have this many instead of just, the number, the buying of the bread, the buying of the flowers. I totally get that. Like that grounding brings a sense of community. And it also just I think reminds, for me, I guess it reminds me of where I'm from. I talk about this with sourdough a lot, but I think people think it can be really hard to garden or really hard to bake sourdough, but our ancestors had to do those things and did them all the time, every single day. And well, if they didn't garden, they didn't eat. If they didn't keep their sourdough starter alive and make bread, they didn't eat. And so not only does it ground me into the present moment, but I feel like it grounds me in a way where I'm like connecting with sort of like past. I don't know, like I don't mean to sound like Mulan or whatever, but like my ancestors, you know what I mean? Like this, like
Yeah.
what's in my blood. So I love that about all of these things as well.
Yeah, it is like it's just like this whole new world, and I'm just like, dang, this is what people used to do back then. Like, I can't imagine all the like I'm over here like sweating over making a loaf of bread, and these people had to make everything, and you know they had to get up at the crack of dawn and milk their cows and
Oh my gosh, I know it. It's crazy. So much work. Like their work, their livelihood was staying alive. Do you know what I mean? Like they weren't out
Yeah.
making money, they were out making the things that you would use money to buy. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is so weird seeing like just seeing the shift, I guess, from generation to generation. And I think that is so cool that like you were homeschooled and you were taught these skills that like a lot of people just weren't taught at all. Like at all. Did homeschooling and stuff like help you find like your passion and what you love and into kind of the world and the business that you're in now, or how's that journey been?
Yeah, good question. The an short answer is definitely yes. Mostly because my mom, I think she really prioritized free time for us. Like there's different methods of homeschooling. You can be like really hardcore and I don't know, rigid in your schedule and whatever. But I think that my mom's approach was a lot more like, I want you to be a well-rested child. So we're not going to start at the crack of dawn. We're going to start at like 8 a.m. And if you want to stay in your pajamas for an extra hour, that's fine. And so the first half of our day was like seat work, where we would do like grammar and, spelling and math based on our grade levels, because I was homeschooled alongside my younger sister and older brother. And then in the afternoon, she would read aloud to us. Like that was like our entire afternoon was my mom reading aloud to us. And if it was a history book, then we were drawing what was happening on this like rollout of like this roll of butcher paper. So we would make a timeline, and at the end of the year, we would have this whole like timeline of like Roman history out on this piece of paper that we could like roll out and look at again. Or we would just be sitting in the yard on like a picnic blanket reading even like fiction books. It kind of didn't matter, but so that was like the morning and afternoon, but there was so much time, free time for me in between to be bored, essentially. And I remember being bored a lot, but my mom would always say, boredom is a luxury, go do something. And I did, and it would always be like something really crafty. I sewed a lot, I knitted, I still knit. I would, we would do the vegetable garden. My sister and I would pretend for hours and hours, just play like pioneers and whatever house and stuff like that. So I think that having that free time to explore different types of art and different just ways of being imaginative did shape who I am quite a bit. And then on top of that, I've just always had my parents' support and permission to pursue those things as if they were as important as, math or science. Do you know what I mean? Like there was, I never felt like these things were less important just because they were more imaginative or more creatively inclined. So that support always meant a lot. It felt important and it felt like I could put my energy towards it without feeling like it was just like a waste of time or whatever, which is why I talk about hobbies so much now and how I believe that they really keep your soul alive. Like you go to work to make money to keep your body alive so you can afford food and shelter. But what's that worth really if you feel like dead inside? And to me, or for me at least, and I can only speak from personal experience, but like hobbies are that thing that keep you alive and kind of remind you of who you are and keep you curious.
Wow, yeah. I feel like I can totally relate to the whole hobby thing because for the longest time, like I didn't have hobbies. Like people would ask me like, "Oh, like what do you like to do?" And like my entire identity was working out, was the gym, was, you know, counting my macros, lifting, you know, doing competitions, whether it was, you know, a marathon, strongman, triathlon, whatever it was. So when people would ask me, "What do I do?" I'd be like, I work out. Like that was my hobby. And then I think it really started to I don't know, kind of hit after I gave birth, and I, having issues with my pelvic floor where I couldn't work out as intensely, and also like struggling with postpartum depression, like I didn't want to work out. So I felt like my whole life was just kind of over and gone. So like following your like sourdough recipe and learning how to like do sourdough, it brought me so much happiness because I was like, look, like this is something else I can do. This is something else like I have to offer the world. Like this is something that I do for me and that I like just enjoy doing. And it's something that's more like slower and you have the patience for it. And you learn something every time. Like I noticed in Virginia, like my dough would always come out perfect. And then over here in San Diego, for some reason, I don't know if it's like the weather shift, but the dough would always be so wet. And I just
Interesting.
like I thought that was so different. So kind of just I don't know, instead of just following directions so specifically, it was just kind of I don't know, learning to be a little more intuitive. And that's, brought
Definitely.
I just think it's so cool. And it brought me to other things. Like I've been really like learning how to sew and how to make things like that. And I'm growing rosemary. I didn't grow it by
Oh,
my, I bought
cool.
it at Trader Joe's and
That
then I
counts. No, that counts.
planted it.
That 110% counts. That's awesome. I know. I really want to do more herbs at some point when I have a little more space. Yum, rosemary. Very cool. And yeah, like with the sourdough, I'm always so impressed with whenever you post, and I love to see all the different, experimental recipes you do with your sourdough, but I feel like you kill it every single time. And like I know that when you like go somewhere else and you're like, okay, it's I promise I can usually do this really well. Like
Yeah.
now that I'm in front of my mom, it's not working or
Yep.
whatever. But it's always so frustrating, but I just feel like I just love to see like the dinner rolls you made the other day looked perfect.
Oh,
And
thank you.
I don't know. Yeah, so it seems like it's innate for you. And like you were saying, like you have that intuition to be able to watch it and be like, ooh, it looks a little wet. I think I could use a little more of this or that. And yeah, it's been fun for me to follow.
Yeah, it's just like such a whole new world and so opposite of, what I used to kind of stand for. Like, oh my gosh, bread, like carbs, like oh my gosh, bread is so demonized in the fitness industry. I thought we were kind of over this. I thought we were good and done. And then the other day someone was telling me that their trainer said no bread and no bananas, that they are not allowed to eat those, but they can have pasta and this and that. And I'm just like,
What?
you're demonizing bananas? Like,
Wild.
come on.
I've never gotten that fruit thing, that like fitness world fruit thing where fruit is so scary. I'm like, okay, you need a little bit of sugar.
I know.
like too much, everything in moderation, but like, come on, fruit, like strawberries or like watermelon, so wild. So
I know.
wild.
I remember it being in like, think late high school, and like the thing was like you shouldn't eat fruit like
Oh
after
my
12 p.m. So
goodness.
like I would be like, I only eat fruit before 12 p.m., not after 12 p.m. And oh my gosh, just all these rules. So it's kind of just cool being in the kitchen and like making bread, and also like having that food freedom with it has been really cool, because there's probably a point in my life where I could never make a loaf of sourdough and have it be able to last a while. It would be like that all or nothing mentality. So I don't know, it's just it's really cool, like kind of bringing in the two worlds of like, you can still live a life of health and fitness, but making this bread is like good for my soul, dude. Like it's just so different than I ever thought.
Absolutely. And I do relate to that. Like I feel like a lot of us can that looking back, I do feel like I've come a long way with food, with my relationship towards food, with seeing it as, not a list of numbers, but a list of ingredients, and what do those ingredients mean to me, and how does my body actually react to those ingredients rather than just like demonizing an ingredient because of what somebody said. And I can absolutely relate to that. And I do agree that putting time and effort and, your heart into something food related really does reflect that that journey from food being something that you need to restrict and control to something that you can kind of get lost in and appreciate in like a totally new way.
You were even mentioning something in I think it was a sourdough video. I don't know. I've seen all your YouTube videos, so they all
Are you
kind of
serious?
yes.
Nuh-uh. Oh my God,
Yes. I
thanks.
watch them. I send them to people. It's funny 'cause I also
Please
like
do them.
all of my starter and like I'll put my starter on Facebook Marketplace and then if
Uh-huh.
someone buys it from me, I send them your YouTube link.
Nuh-uh. Thank you. I have a video coming out tomorrow about this like amazing sourdough granola bread. I feel like you're really gonna like it. It's like, well, I don't know if you like are a big nut fruit person, but it's like, yeah, this like nutty fruity sourdough
Oh,
bread. It's
yeah.
pretty good. Yeah, it's a fun recipe. It's really similar to the like regular sourdough recipe, but just with like add-ins. So it's cool. I'm excited.
Ooh, I'm excited to do that. I just fed my starter this morning, so
Nice.
getting ready, getting ready. But what I like in the video, what I was saying is you said something about like eat the dang bread. And I was like, yes, girl, thank you for saying that because it is so true. I mean, shoot, back in the day, people were, making bread, drinking milk, having cheese, all this stuff, and they didn't struggle the way that we struggle now. And like, we demonize the things that's like, that's what they used to eat back in the day. They had a healthy relationship with food. They kind of worked to, make their food, create it, keep it around. So I think when you do have like this new appreciation, it kind of does help like heal your relationship with the food as well.
I agree. Yeah. And then you start to look at things like fat-free milk and you're like, something doesn't seem right here. You know what I mean? When you think about like what milk is, when they went to milk their cow and then drank it and they had that relationship with food where it was just, easy and like a no-brainer. It kind of makes you look at some stuff now that diet culture slash just obsession with thinness or whatever has created, and you're like, that's weird. I think that's a little strange, you know?
Yeah, I mean, things that I don't know, it's just so weird, like you're saying about like the fat-free milk. Like we like to like overly process things now. And like don't get me wrong, I'm all for like egg whites. Egg whites are cool, but like there's a reason why like egg whites are with the yolk, like that's like how God made it, they were meant to be together. And same with like milk. I was listening to something that said the reason why so many people are lactose intolerant is because when you pasteurize the milk, it takes away like the ingredient that helps you process lactose. So it's like no wonder everyone's lactose intolerant, and like same with bread. Like when I see things that say like keto bread or whatever, I'm just like, what do you
You're like,
mean?
what
This
is
is just
it?
this is air.
No, I totally agree. So wild.
I know. So I feel like we're just like demonizing the wrong things. And I still like I'll get like little comments here and there like when I make my like bread or cinnamon rolls and like, oh, this is gonna be so bad for me or this or that. Like little diet culture things that I hear people say. And I'm just like, see, that's the unhealthy relationship with food that I'm talking about. Like you should be okay with having some bread. Like it's literally one ingredient. Like the sourdough is one ingredient.
No, I completely agree. And I mean, I will say, like, I am not perfect. I even catch myself doing that kind of thing. I even catch myself, saying things like, oh, to myself, I've made a lot, I've been recipe testing this week. I've made a lot of different bread recipes. Like, maybe I shouldn't have so many slices of this. And you know what I mean? Like, I'll still catch myself like saying stuff like that to myself. And so I'm like by no means perfect, and food freedom is a journey. But just back to that, when you're hands-on and making it can really take so much of that away, and you kind of get back to the root of like why you're doing it, what it is you're doing, and it's not just a calorie. But if I didn't say that I still like had those sort of intrusive thoughts, I'd be completely lying, because it is a journey.
I mean, oh my gosh, like same here. One of the things is that really bugs me, but also like it's kind of a compliment at the same time is like when people tell me, oh my gosh, you don't look like you just had a baby. And it's part of me is like, oh, well, thank you. But then most of me is like, but I did have a baby. Like, what's wrong with looking like I just had a baby? Like, I just had a baby. This whole bounce back culture. Like, no, I'm different than I was before. I'm not gonna bounce back. I'm gonna go through this new journey of healing and this new journey of health and wellness. So yeah, I mean, of course, naturally, I want to be like, oh, well, thank
Of course.
you. But it's not. But the fact that we acknowledge it and we can see it is a big step, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And to kind of piggyback what you were just talking about, I'm a birth doula. I'm a newly trained birth doula, so I don't think I would consider that like necessarily a hobby, but it definitely is like something that I'm working towards doing professionally. I was trained last September and have had a few clients and I'm working on getting more, but something that I learned in my studies, going through the training for my doula certification is this idea of, I think I'm saying it right, and if I'm not, I apologize, but matrescence, which is what's considered like a second puberty, when women kind of cross that, or people cross that threshold, from not being a parent into parenthood, into motherhood, and how so much changes so quickly. And kind of one of the only things that you can compare it to is puberty. Like one day you wake up and like, oh, you just like have hair in a place that you didn't before or whatever. And it's kind of all these changes, physical, but emotional all at once. And so that's something that's always been really intriguing to me, that idea of you are completely, you're the same person, but you're so different than you were before you had Tide. You know what I mean? And what's wrong with that? Like, why are we being encouraged to bounce back to a prior version of ourselves? It's not a better version of ourselves. Do you know what I mean? But there's so much, I think, pressure and opinions that make you think that you should be back to that person you were before. You're still you, of course, but you're a new you. You know what I mean? You're a different you. You've gone through these changes. So to hear somebody act like you should be, or feel, or look like, or behave like you did before you went through this transformation is a little invalidating. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of wild.
Wow, that's so cool hearing that there's actually like a name for that and it's a thing because it's so true. Like I feel like honestly a completely different person in like I don't even want to say a good way or a bad way. It's just kind of like both ways. Like it's just it is what it is.
It
So
is what
still
it
trying
is.
to rediscover myself and figure out like who I am and like what I have to offer. And it's so different. It's weird that like so like literally everyone, a lot of people go through this, and no one really talks about it. I'm just like, dang, like this is hard. Like, I understand motherhood is beautiful and birth is beautiful, but it's freaking hard. And it's like trying to find myself all over again. Like, I understand now why 40-year-old men buy Mustangs. Like, I get it. I get it.
It's weird because it's like you're still 100% yourself, but at the same time, you're 100% different. It's almost like you just doubled what you're capable of and what you are. Do you know what I mean? So you're not less. And like when you try and find yourself again, it's like you're finding the pieces of you that have traveled with you through this and that are, that you're gonna come out on the other side of this with. And then there's stuff that you leave behind, and that's okay. And it's meant to be that way. And yeah, I do agree that having a word for that experience. I've never had children myself. I just am magnetized to childbirth and knowing about it. But I'm grateful that I know that, so that God willing, when I do have children, I think there's just more of like a concrete way of understanding that transition, I guess.
Yeah, that is just so cool how you kind of went from flowers to sourdough to being a doula, because I feel like we all limit ourselves to like one little like aspect in life. Like, people are like, oh, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm an accountant, and it's like that's it. And
Oh my
I
gosh.
love how you just cover all these bases. And I feel like kind of like the older generation would probably frown upon that. I feel like, 'cause they're also the type who are like, you have to stay in the same exact job like your whole life.
100%.
And I love that you just kind of, I don't know, follow your dreams, your passion, your heart, and learn all these new different things. Do you like feel a little pushback by society when you decide to travel in all these different areas?
Yeah, definitely. And I also feel pushback from myself too sometimes. A question that I get a lot when people ask me what I do, which it is hard to explain, but I think that like something that does bother me is people will say, "Oh, okay, cool, but which one do you want to do the most?" And I'm like, "I just told you, like all of them." They're like, "No, I know you do all of them, but like which one are you gonna?" And I'm like, "No, like all of them all the time is my goal. Like I don't yeah, that's definitely like some pushback that I get, but I will say like I get pushback from myself because I think that I need to, I don't know, what's that quote, jack of all trades, master of none? Like sometimes like my there's a part of me that is like, okay, like you need to commit to one thing and be an expert in it rather than being like knowing something about like five different things or something. And so not only do I feel that from others, I do sometimes like when I'm having a day where I'm just kind of down on myself, I do think that, about myself. And I don't know if you know anything about human design types. I know like very, very, very little about human design types, but I do know that I'm a manifesting generator. And there's an Instagram called like My Human Design that every time a manifesting generator post comes up, it's always like, stop feeling like you have to choose one thing. Like, show us how you can be more things than just the one thing. Like, the blueprint might not exist, but like, it's up to you to create that blueprint and be multiple things and not feel held back. So, I feel that a lot. And then I also have waves of like inspiration that maybe I can do all of these things and inspire that many more people because you may be interested in sourdough and not in flowers or flowers and not sourdough. So hopefully like if I can teach anyone just like one thing about one category of things I'm interested in, that would like feel successful to me. Yeah, but definitely feel pushback and feel like I need to choose and make myself smaller, I guess, a lot of the time.
Yeah, so what you just said about the whole jack of all trades, master of none. I was just Googling it because I've heard that the entire quote is actually
Yes.
the complete opposite of what
Yes.
we think it is.
That's what my
So yeah,
boyfriend
it's
always says. What is it?
yeah, so I guess it's a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one.
Okay. See,
See,
I think
I
you did.
love
I like
that.
I low-key got goosebumps just now. Thank you for looking that up. My boyfriend is always telling me that he's always like, I know that's not what the quote actually means, but I forget what it means. But anyway, I had been meaning to look that up. But yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, I've never actually looked it up, but I remember someone talking about that. So when you brought it
Yeah.
up, I looked it up and it's so true. And I was listening to a TED talk like years ago where they're actually saying that people who have more, like, I don't know how they worded it, but kind of like general education in an area versus like a very specific, when you have like that specific knowledge, you make more money in the very beginning, but then when you have the general knowledge over time, you actually make more money than someone who is like very specific on a
Wow.
topic.
Huh.
So I thought that
Interesting.
was really cool. So, we live in a world where they're like you're saying, like, oh, like what's the one thing?
Huh?
And it's like, yeah, that might, let's say, make you the most money, because apparently that's all people want to do nowadays is
People
just
want to be able to,
make
yeah, put
money.
you in a box in order to,
Yep.
I guess label you. So, but that, yeah, but then I understand how money would come from you being that thing and you being recognized as that thing and hired for being that thing. Or, like that does make sense to me. I get that. And I get why people want to put other people in boxes. It's comfortable. I want to do it to people all the time. I want to do it to myself. It's more comfortable to be able to like label something and not like honor those intricacies. It's easy to do. It makes sense why people do that.
Yeah, and the question, I hate the question, like when people say, what do you do? Because we're taught that, like, when people ask you that, like, your answer should be like your job or your career.
Right.
When I feel like it should be so much more than that. Like, I love that, like, your title is a professional hobbyist because, like, it
Yeah.
does not put you in one box. So, that's why when, like, people ask me what I do, I'm like, sometimes I just have, like, different answers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and part of me wants to be like, I'm a mom.
Right.
And no one wants that answer. And honestly, like, it hurts my ego to say it if that
Right.
was my answer. And,
Which
like, that's why I feel
is
like,
wild. I get it, and at the same time, it's wild that that isn't revered as like the most important thing. Do you know what I mean?
because it's
Like,
for sure the hardest thing I've ever done. It's for
yes.
sure the hardest thing I've ever done. But
Yes.
why isn't it the thing I want to say that I do?
Yeah, no, I
I
get
don't
that.
know.
Well, because I do think that when people ask that question, what they're asking is how do you make money and how much of it do you make? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of times that's what they want to know. And so like being if I said, well, I knit, they're like, but do you, okay, so do you sell what you knit? And I'm like, no, I sit on my couch and I knit. You know what I mean? Like that, like there's a way to answer the question that people are going to feel cool about, and there's a way that they're not going to. And being a mom, you don't make money. You spend money on diapers, and you know what I mean? And I think that that's like just one reason that like sometimes it feels like that's not like an acceptable answer, maybe. For me, it does, at least when I tell people what I do. They're like, okay, so are you making money on your YouTube? And I'm like, someday. I just started it. Someday, I hope to. You know what I mean?
I know people
But
ask me
yeah,
about
the
the
boxes.
podcast as well. Like, yeah, do you make money from your podcast? Like, why is that the first question, like,
Yeah.
that you ask? Like, how about,
Yeah.
like, do you feel like you're making a difference or
Yes.
something like that? They're always like, do
Yeah.
you make money from your podcast? Like, not enough for me to, leave my husband and child and go live in Hawaii by myself if
Yeah.
that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, I relate
No.
to that. Yeah, I totally relate to that.
Maybe I'll just like, I think I'm gonna have a new answer when people ask me, like, oh, what do you do? I'll just ask them, what makes me money or what makes me happy? Because,
Literally.
like, because I think they just want to know what makes me money, like you said,
Yeah,
because if
I
that's
think
what you want to
so.
know, like, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they're being federal. They like want to know like exactly the facts on how much you make and what that means about who you are, which is wild and kind of gross.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of like a go-to question. Like, I was literally at the dermatologist and he was like pulling out my little skin cancer and he's
I
like, "So
just
what
had
do
one
you
removed
do?"
too. I just had one removed on my back this week. My stitches are like killing. I forgot we both
Oh
have that.
no.
I forgot we talked about that. Anyway,
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's how are
wild.
you doing? Are you
It
okay?
hurt. No, my stitches hurt. It's like it's fine. I'm like fine. The path report came back good, but the stitches are like on my mid back and they're like stretching. Anyway, I totally interrupted you, but your
Oh.
dermatologist asked you what you do.
Oh no, I'm just like, I'm over here getting freaking cancer removed
Yes.
from my left titty, and you're
I
asking me
know.
what makes me money.
Yeah. You're like, you don't need to know right now, at least. You can either touch my boob or ask me that question, but not at the same time.
Yeah,
How
not at the same time.
are you? Is your
Yeah,
good?
that was it's oh my gosh, first of all, the scar, very ugly. Second of all, horrible location when you're breastfeeding.
Yeah, I could imagine that we did it stretch a bit.
Yeah, so like if I ever like, got engorged from milk, it would stretch and
Yeah.
then my baby just thought it would be the funnest thing to try to like pull up my stitches or
Oh.
slap it or this and that. And like I'd wear a Band-Aid, but like my skin would get all
Yes,
sensitive.
no, me
So
too. Me too. I have a scar right above my left boob, or wait, is this my left? Yeah. And I do. I always think about that you know, if and when I breastfeed, I do think that same is going to happen to me. It's going to stretch a bit, and it's just part of it, but it
yeah,
sucks.
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
My uncle, I think everyone has someone in their family who like just always says something kind of inappropriate.
Stuff.
And my uncle was like, "Oh, You need to tell your husband to stop giving you love bites on your boobs or
Oh.
whatever, because he saw my scar.
Oh
And I was like, it's cancer.
my gosh. No matter what it is, that is an inappropriate comment. People do think mine's my nipple, and I'm
I
like, you think my nipple is like 3 inches above? Like what? Like I don't know. In like college, if I'd walk into like my, our room with all my roommates with a towel on, they'd be like, your nipple. And I'd be like, girls, that is not my nipple. Yeah. Scars.
That is so third nipple. Have you ever seen Friends?
I haven't seen Friends.
You've never seen
No,
Friends?
I've never seen Friends. I feel like
Oh my
I want.
gosh.
I know.
Oh man. Well, Chandler Bing has a third nipple.
Oh, really?
So yeah.
Yeah,
Who's your third nipple?
that's us.
That's so funny. All right, so I think one of my last questions to you would be like, what kind of words of advice, I guess, do you have for people who are maybe going back and forth between like, should I follow like my passion, maybe something that I don't know isn't acceptable to society, or like what route should I go? Like what words of wisdom do you have for people maybe trying to take a more Claire route?
A leap of faith, I would say 100% go for it, and go for it knowing that you're going to have to do what you can to make it happen, especially at first. And say that thing is art, you're no less of an artist because you're also driving Postmates in order to not be at your 9 to 5 to pursue your art career. I guess like I've done so many things since graduating college that weren't related to my passions, my hobbies, my art. I've nannied a bunch. I've been a hostess at a restaurant. I've been a maid. I've driven Postmates. Like I have done so many things to hustle to make ends meet, I suppose. And I think a lot of times when I'm in those situations, I can look at it and feel like I'm failing, I guess, because I have to do them. But really, the reality of it is that it's pure success. The fact that I'm pursuing something that makes me happy and doing what I have to do to make that work, logistically for myself, that's like the spice of life. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make me any less of a gardener, any less of a hobbyist, any less of a floral artist because I'm doing something else to support myself. It actually kind of makes me like a badass and brave. And also the other thing, kind of piggybacking on that, is I heard this thing the other day that's like, you say you want something, but you have to hold this uncomfortable position in order to get that thing. A lot of people will back out after holding that uncomfortable position becomes too uncomfortable. And they kind of start to think, did I really want that thing? If I have to go do XYZ to achieve my goal, do I really, is that my goal really what I want? So it's about holding that uncomfortable position. It's about, allowing that discomfort. It's about welcoming it in and doing everything you have to do to reach that goal. So, I would say if you feel like it's a leap of faith and there might be some discomfort and you might have to hold a position for a long time that isn't necessarily your ideal, more power to you. Don't let that make you think that you're failing in some way. It's pure success to chase what brings you joy and what keeps you alive, even if it's at the expense of having to do some stuff that you don't necessarily, want to do. Better than doing only what you don't want to do at a 9 to 5 or whatever, right?
Man, that was inspirational, like hearing it on my end, because like I feel like that's kind of where I am, like feeling the resistance and the uncomfortableness of, pursuing my passion. But I mean, there's more to life than just, working a 9 to 5 if that's not what you want to do,
Right.
So I love
Totally.
that. It's gonna be uncomfortable, and I feel like there's just resistance like from all ends, whether it's yourself or, the outside world who says like this is what you should be doing. Like at the end of the day, no one's gonna like lie on their deathbed saying like, "I'm so happy that I made more money right away doing something that I didn't love."
100%. And something that didn't feel like a full representation of myself, right? Like, even if you make more money doing something that doesn't feel aligned, it's like, why? Why? You know? And that can be uncomfortable, though, you know, when you know that there could be more money and you're choosing not that. That's the kind of thing that people are like, okay, what? Yeah.
And like as humans, like we change and evolve, so like our, passions and like what we do should change and evolve too, like even how much you've evolved over the past couple years of what you've done from flowers to being a doula, like just because you're evolving and learning more, so why can't your career path do that as well? Like we should accept that and embrace it.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, thanks for saying that. Feels good to hear.
I got you, girl. You were inspiring me, so I'm here to inspire you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where can our listeners connect with you and find you? Because they need to follow your YouTube and Instagram because their life will be changed just like mine has.
Oh, thank you. My Instagram is just my first and last name, Claire Fagan. And then from there's a link in my bio where you can find my YouTube. You can find sourdough recipes. There's signups for flower deliveries if you're local. All the stuff is kind of there. My YouTube is called Farm Dream if you just want to go straight to YouTube, but it's all in my Instagram bio. So that's a good place to start.
Perfect. I'll put that in the show notes so people can find you and reach out to you. But thank you so much for coming on my podcast, Claire.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. I feel like, I don't know, this morning I was kind of like tired and now I feel like inspired and kind of giddy. And I wish we were like in person right now so we could continue chatting over a cup of coffee or something, but glad to
I
be
know.
virtual
Well,
for
you know what? That will be maybe that will be part two. We'll do
amazing.
another when I'm back in town. Maybe we can meet up and do
Oh, I'm
another
down.
little interview and hang out because that'd be so
Appreciate it.
fun.
That would be very fun. Thank you again so much for having me.
Thank you all for joining me in another episode of the Bread Therapy Mama podcast. If you like this kind of content, check out my blog for recipes, how-tos, product recommendations, and more. Just go to breadtherapymama.com. I'll see you all in the next episode.